Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
We just have one Sunday left without football. That is it. You guys, one Sunday to go. Two more weeks exactly, and we will spend our Sunday in 2 weeks blanketing you with football. You know we do our Sunday night football show that we dig and we know you dig. Of course, early in the season, we're constantly telling you to pump the brakes. We love to overreact with you, though. It's a lot of fun. We believe that football drives the bus around here, and we're so close. Oh, my gosh. All we have left is Labor Day weekend. That's it. So I hope that you milked as much summer as possible out of this weekend and that you are ready for some football soon. It's soon. Or if college is your jam, you know, we already saw Notre Dame, USC, pick up their first wins of this year. So it was college football weekend zero. That's what they call it in college football. They start with zero as their very first weekend, and then they kind of line up with the NFL a little bit, not exactly, of course, but the NFL is kind and generous enough to allow college football to start earlier, and then the NFL will not play on Saturdays until college season is done. All right, so let's not create any competition among the two fan favorites in the United States. So yeah, we are into college football season now. And no, we're not going to forget about you, baseball or golf or tennis. Even Messi is going to have competition now. As much as Messi has been as hot as Taylor Swift over the last month, has it been a month since he first was introduced in South Florida? Even though it's been messy, 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 messy.
Messy, 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 messy.
See what I'm saying? Even though it's been messy mania and all messy all the time, even Messi is going to find out which football is king in the United States of America. Boom, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I had the best weekend. I had such a good weekend, and I cannot wait to tell you some of the great stories. But also, there's this. You know I'm an animal lover. You know that I love dogs. I have a dog, Penny, getting close to 14 now. My cat is 15. I had three pets for 8 years. I love pets. Bob has a dog. We're about to be a three pet family yet again. When my friend Chris told me that he wanted to come visit me this weekend so that we could hang out, his family is away, he decided he would come visit from Maryland, take a bit of a road trip. He said to me, "Can I bring Jax?" Jax is his 1.5-year-old puppy. It's a combination. Oh, Jax is the most adorable dog I've ever seen. I wanted to steal him initially. So Jax is jet black. He's a combination black lab, Australian cattle dog and Siberian husky. He's smart. He's funny. He's expressive. He's adorable. He has a ton of energy. He's got big eyes and pointed ears that stand up, except that his right one bounces when he walks. I love Jax. Penny and Jax got along just fine. Jax made himself right at home. Once we got inside, Chris let him off the leash and let him do his thing. Now, Sugar was hiding. That was smart on her part because as an Australian cattle dog and as a bigger dog, he likes to herd things and check things out. So I was preparing lunch. Chris and I were hanging out. We're catching up. We hadn't seen each other in a couple years. By the way, this is the Chris that I did the polar bear plunge with in the Chesapeake Bay in January of 21. Oh, yeah. We are friends for life. Anyway, he was my dive partner, if you will. My swim buddy. He's a retired state police lieutenant in Maryland. And so we've remained tight and we hadn't had a visit in a while. So this was our opportunity. So Jax is running around the house, nose down like any Australian cattle dog or Australian shepherd would do. Just checking everything out. I had put the dog food away. I'd put the cat food away. He did find some water. Okay, fine, whatever. And he and Penny they're good. They're kind of checking each other out. All of a sudden, Jax gets the zoomies. And it's clear that he needs to be outside because Penny's not, she's not a youngin' anymore and doesn't really need a young dog in her face. So she gave him a warning growl and we let Jax outside in the backyard. So Jax is running around. He's investigating. I'm inside getting dinner ready, or lunch, excuse me. And I smell something funny. And I am thinking, okay, Jax is outside now. My windows aren't open. What is that smell? And I kind of walk around, like I leave the kitchen quickly. I walk to the other end of the ground floor. Nothing. I don't smell anything in there. I go back to cooking, thinking maybe one of the dogs had gas for some reason. Well, Jax comes back inside. Chris comes with him. And I said to Chris, do you smell that? He's like, yeah, I do. I kind of walked around to see if Jax had an accident, but I don't think so. I looked around and I decided that I would have to investigate further because it was a pungent smell. And so I'm walking around. Again, it's not in my utility room, my office. It's not in the spare bathroom. It's not in my living room. But then, and now, my stairs, my house is built in 1951. So my stairs have character. They have creaks to them. I like it that way. Hardwood floors, really wonderful floors that are the originals. And I wouldn't change them even if they creak in certain places. We had not heard Jax go upstairs. This is a 55-pound dog, probably. We had not heard him go upstairs, so I didn't even think to check upstairs. Plus, Sugar was up there, and I thought, okay, well, Jax probably kept his distance. Except that I get to the bottom of the stairs, and I smell what's cooking even more distinctly.
Stings the nostrils.
Yeah, I definitely did that. So I said to Chris, I guess I'll check upstairs, even though Jax didn't go upstairs. Oh, I get halfway up the stairs, and what do I see on the landing upstairs? A ginormous pile of poo. And I mean a large, huge pile of poo, as though Jax had saved it up just to come hang out with us and then share his gratitude for us allowing him in the house. So I instantly have to grab a bag. Poor Chris is mortified, as you can imagine. His 1.5-year-old dog just took a large dump on my upstairs landing.
Come on, man.
And I'm not kidding you. We're not talking small pile. We're talking maybe the size of 3 cupcakes. Like a big pile. Huge. So I have to run downstairs. I grab a bag. Chris is about ready to freak out. He's so embarrassed. As you can imagine, could you imagine if Penny went into someone else's house and pooped on the floor? Oh my gosh. So he said, right away, Chris says to me, you're not going to talk about this on the air, are you? Oh, well, of course I am.
Obviously.
I even said, I'll send you the segment. So yes, thankfully it was a pile that kept its form and shape, if you know what I mean. And so I grabbed a wipe. I grabbed a bag. I picked up the large pile of Jax's housewarming gift and gave it to Chris, and he took it outside, and I was able to get it. It didn't stay in the hardwoods, but I was able to get it off the hardwoods before it made a real mess or made a stain, thankfully. And then I took my Lysol can and I sprayed the entire house. But Chris was beside himself. I think he apologized at least a dozen times. And I'm laughing because it's life, right? Penny has had, every now and then when Penny has gotten sick and I haven't been in the house, Penny's also, she's had an accident here or there on the floor. Penny dribbles now. She's almost 14. I wouldn't say she's incontinent, but sometimes she doesn't even realize what's happening. So I get it. But the funny part was he wasn't even in the house for 2 minutes before he decided that he needed to show his, I don't know, dominance, being
the
boy dog.
You're back in the dumpers again.
We were definitely back in the dumpers again. So yes, this is why I don't get boy dogs. I don't know if this was him marking his territory or just him being a puppy. I was a little afraid he was going to pee on my couch, lift his leg on my couch, or lift his leg on me. Thankfully, he did not do that.
That teaches man some etiquette.
We took him for two very long walks. We took him down to the school field. He was too tired. It was hot, so he was too tired even to chase a ball. But we wore Jax out until, of course, Sugar made an appearance about 3 hours into his visit. And then Jax was awake again. Really cute dog. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what that was. Really cute dog. Just the sweetest personality. Big old brown eyes. Adorable ears. I wanted to steal him. If it weren't for Penny, well, and another incoming dog, I would definitely be looking for a dog like Jax. He was a rescue, so he's just so grateful. But boy, not only that, but I left Sugar's food down for all of 30 seconds, and the dog inhaled Sugar's food. I mean, he was a Tasmanian devil in my house for 5 hours. So, you know, this is why I will never adopt a puppy.
That puppy energy is real.
Could you imagine when your sister and your brother-in-law's dog comes over, does Charlie ever accidentally or not accidentally poop in the house?
Not as when he first started, when he was around 1.5, 2. Now he's like closer to 4.5, so he doesn't do accident as much, but he's still crazy. But yeah, when he first started coming over, it was almost every time. It was like you're saying, he would save it up for like a, hey, I'm here.
Poor Moose.
It was terrible.
What did Moose do? Did Moose climb on top of his tower of beds and just refused?
Moose would try to ram him. He would like get mad and like be like a linebacker and kind of like meet him in the A-gap. But
do you think Moose knows what an A-gap is?
I don't know. He hits it while he plugs it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I love animals. I love dogs and horses specifically, but this was not your ordinary dog poo. This was a ginormous pile. It could have been horse poo. Like, that's how much poop it was. I couldn't believe it. Thankfully, the dog is healthy. I guess that's all there is to say.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at
it. Oh, my gosh. And Chris was mortified. He said, I even stopped multiple times to get him to go before we got here. I took him for a walk this morning before we got in the car. Nope.
With a young pup like that, it's got to just be the excitement. Like, they get there and they see.
No way. The excitement, and you go upstairs to find a quiet place to poop.
True.
It's not like he did it right in the kitchen or something. He went upstairs and found a private spot where he could use the potty. And the funny thing is, it was right outside the potty. Like, it was right in front of my bathroom.
That's a very good point. He knew what he was doing. He went up there.
He absolutely did.
To find a spot.
He did. He needed to find a quiet place where he could be undisturbed while he did his business. Heavens. Yeah. So that was part of my weekend, though that was not the amazing part, obviously. But I felt as though I was very gracious. I did not get mad. Chris apologized. I said, please, don't worry about it. I don't really care that much. I just thought it was so funny. He wasn't even in the house 60 seconds. We'd been outside multiple times. He wasn't even in the house 60 seconds where he decided that, hey, I'm going to show you who's boss around here. This is the spot. Oh, heavens. I did not take a picture. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I did take pictures while kayaking on the Susquehanna River in Pennsylvania, near Strasburg, Lancaster area, for those of you who are familiar. The Susquehanna is a river with a ton of current. You wouldn't know that by looking at it from the banks, but boy, you get out there and it's got a really active current. Good exercise. My whole upper body is now sore. I can feel it. We did some heavy paddling and heavy kayaking into the wind and into the current upstream for a good hour plus. But it was an awesome day to be on the water. I did share those photos on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'll retweet them right now if you want to check them out. We actually saw one tree already turning yellow. It's not fall yet, but we saw one tree already turning yellow. Jay, you know how much I love cloud photos. Oh my goodness, they were exceptional on Saturday.
They absolutely were.
Went to a show on Friday night in the Lancaster area. That was amazing. And then slept, I'm not kidding, both Friday and Saturday nights, 8 hours. I don't remember the last time in my life that happened. So it was a really good weekend. Lots of friend time, lots of time on the water, lots of conversation, lots of dogs, lots of things to be excited about as we are getting down to the nitty gritty now with summer weekends. So check out the photos again on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Jay and I will put them up on Facebook when we have an opportunity. Here's what we have in store for you. We've got the last weekend of the NFL preseason. And while I don't care about scores and you don't care about scores and you shouldn't care about scores, we've got quarterback news. Of course, first of all, the Texans make their choice public. Second of all, Trey Lance is now a Dallas Cowboy. Wowzers. Jennifer Lee Chan will join us from the Bay Area in 45 minutes. But between now and then, we'll hear from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Brock Purdy as well, because he is QB1. Also, if you missed it, in the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Mariners are in first place in the AL West. First place. Do you know? Are you ready? I'm going to warm up my voice. Me, 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 me. Oh, that doesn't sound good. That's better. Me, 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 me. Oh, there we go. Nerd alert. Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Jay, I feel like we have many nerd alert drops that we need to bring back. Nerd alert. I don't even know if I can still do that. It's been a weird summer for my voice. Anyway, here's your nerd alert. 20 years, exactly 20 years this month since the Mariners sat in first place all by themselves this late in a season. 20 years. Not since 2003 have the Mariners had sole possession of first place this late in a season. How about them apples?
End the effing drought.
So we've got some exciting Seattle Mariners, including Julio Rodriguez, who is over the moon. Also, Mookie Betts in his return to Boston. And so those are a couple of the baseball headlines. Oh my gosh, did you all see the pickoff throw from Ellie De La Cruz on Sunday? He delivered a bullet from, we're going to call it shallow center. He was out on the grass in center field. He receives the relay from the wall or close to the wall. The ball had bounced past the center fielder. Center fielder relays it to Ellie. Ellie turns on a dime and fires without even looking. Fires and gets the runner at home. It was jaw-dropping and really impressive. So I'm excited for you to hear that, hear what it sounded like on Reds radio. And then we've got so much more than just baseball and football. Did you know U.S. Open taking place in New York? The Tour Championship in golf, it's done. It's over. $18 million for the winner. That wrapped up in Atlanta this weekend. Not to mention the NASCAR regular season in Daytona. And another piece of history for one of our iconic athletes, and I do mean our as in USA, USA. So we've got a ton to cram in. I can't promise you we're going to get to everything, but I'm going to do my absolute best to make sure on this Sunday night we start prepping and warming up for what's to come, which are crazy, over-the-top, frenetic, hectic, chaotic, freaky, but oh so much fun football Sunday nights. So find us on Facebook or on Twitter. We're just getting started. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
This receiver trio is just is scary, and it does start with Scary Terry himself there. He's good, man, and I it's just, can we get normal quarterback play for this guy
for
once in his career? Because you're right. I mean, yeah, no shade to ODU's finest Taylor Heinicke, but he was literally a backup quarterback in the XFL, and he's probably the best player that Washington has rolled out at quarterback in Terry's, you know, career.
Subscribe to Reception Perception, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the pitch to Julio. Swinging a drive deep into the gap in left center field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball! Into the Mariners bullpen. It's now the Mariners 3 and the Royals nothing. And it has been a Royal slugfest for home runs, 7 yesterday and 2 this afternoon. 3-0, the Mariners lead. Julio Rodriguez with his 51st career home run in only 2 years of the big leagues. He's gotten to 50 faster than anybody in the history of the franchise. Quicker than A-Rod, and there is number 23 on the year for Julio Rodriguez. That was a tee shot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Mariners Radio, it is the culmination of 3 weeks surging. Actually, I'm not even sure it's 3 full weeks. If you go back to mid-August, the Mariners trailed the Rangers by 7.5 games. In the AL West standings, mid-August. And now here we are. We're not even through the month. So maybe 2 weeks. And the Mariners have taken over first place all by themselves, all by their lonesomes. In the AL West, it's the Mariners with a game lead on both the Astros and the Rangers. 11 wins in their last 12 tries, and couple that with the Rangers backpedaling, and you have a change atop the division standings. Julio Rodriguez continues to be a lightning rod, a spark, the Energizer Bunny, the megawatt smile. He's smashing the baseball. 3 home runs, I think, in the last 2 games. And he also got on Root Sports Northwest following this big win and could not contain his enthusiasm.
We just got to keep on going. It's not over here. It's not over yet. We're going to need your energy. Keep bringing the energy to this ballpark, and let's keep on riding this. I'm going to keep it right there.
I love that guy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about the Texas Rangers. Man, just when you feel like they can't figure out new ways to lose, what are you, the Chargers?
3 balls and no strikes, and the pitch in the dirt, and he walked in the winning run. The Twins are going to win 7-6 on a bases loaded walk. Hernandez walked 3 in the inning, and what a tough afternoon for the Texas Rangers. You play 13 innings, and you get walked off by 4 pitches out of the zone. Celebration going on to Michael A. Taylor. And the Twins celebrating at first base.
He just lost it. Lost his command. And, the hard-fought game. I will say the guys were fighting, but we just didn't do much with runners in scoring position. That's going to come back to get you. Really, neither team. Our guys did a good job there. But, score 1 run in, the last 9 innings. That came back to get us, too.
Bruce Bochy, man, it's gotten a lot more stressful to lead the Texas Rangers these days. As you hear on Twins Radio, Jonathan Hernandez, who was the eighth pitcher of the game for the Rangers, walks three guys and then walks in the game-winning run for the Twins. So essentially a walk-off walk for Minnesota in the bottom of the 13th. And sure, it's easy to point to Hernandez and say, you screwed up, except Bochy points out the Rangers were 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. 2-for-17. They had the lead in the top of the 12th. The Twins matched them in the bottom of the inning. They did not score in the top of the 13th, and the Twins wouldn't have either if they had been able to get out of that frame without the walk. So now, even as the Mariners have won 11 of their last 12, the Rangers have lost 9 of 10 and are no longer in the driver's seat in the AL West.
I think it's anybody's division. So you look at us in the beginning of the year, you look at the division at the beginning of the year, you say the same thing. So we got a lot of baseball to play this last month. Whoever plays the best baseball will be playing at the end. So that's the way I look at it.
That's Marcus Semien. They still do have a ton of star power. They've spent a lot of money on this roster, and they've been, until today, in sole possession of first place for all except, I think it was 1 or 2 days maybe, or they were tied with a team in April. They've controlled this division. And as I say, they led the Mariners by 7.5 games in mid-August. Now think of it from the Twins' perspective, who are up 6 in what has been a weak and down year for the AL Central. And Rocco Baldelli calls this one of the best wins of the season.
Big time, big time, big time effort from our team. And you can single some names out if you want to, but that's a team victory where we were up, we were down, we were all over the place in the game. Good team on the other side of the field, but our team is tough. And we kept working, never relented really at any point. I had chills after the game.
It's a walk-off walk, and I had chills after the game. I mean, I do understand it. It shows resiliency. It shows their ability to rally, to stay in the fight, to have that same intensity and sense of urgency, but he had chills over a walk-off walk.
I had chills after the game.
Anyway, there's a lot of real estate still left in the Major League Baseball season. And while we are starting to see some separation in races like the AL Central or even in the NL Central, where the Brewers now lead the Cubs by 4 games, though both those teams are still relatively hot, it's becoming the Reds aren't out of it, but it's becoming more of a two-horse race. We know the Dodgers and the Braves are skunking their divisions. The American League East is still very much up for grabs. Yeah, so it's maybe not the dog days of summer anymore, or we just have 1 week to go in the dog days of summer. The stretch run is nearly upon us, so there's a lot that still can happen, can and will happen. Before we get to our break, you have got to see the video. It's one of those moments where you got to see it to believe it, or maybe video just enhances this moment for Ellie De La Cruz as the Reds were in Atlanta. And don't ask me who measures these things. Of course, I suppose the trajectory of the ball heading to home plate means there might have been Arizona, my fault. So the trajectory of the ball was right at home plate. So maybe there was a radar gun on it. But according to those in the know, the ball was traveling at nearly 100 miles per hour when Ellie threw it to the plate to nab Corbin Carroll and prevent him from achieving an inside-the-park home run.
Here's the 0-2 pitch to Corbin Carroll. He reaches for it, lifts a fly ball to deep center field. Friedel's on the run, going back. He's at the wall, leaps, and he can't get it. It bangs off the pads. Carroll's on his horse, heading to third and rounding third. De La Cruz home with the relay. They got him! What a throw by Ellie De La Cruz
on the relay from T.J. Friedel as they cut down Corbin Carroll trying for an inside-the-park home run. A thrilling way to end the fifth.
Great play. Great play on their part. I think against, in most situations he makes it there. So you understand completely why they tried it. And, it took a perfect play on TJ's part and then just an incredible throw by Ellie and a tape by Tyler to be able to cut that down.
Yeah, David Bell continually amazed by Ellie De La Cruz. And boy, the Reds' trajectory completely changed when he was called up. They had this great surge. They got to the top of the NL Central. And even if they don't make the playoffs, which would be tough to do if they don't win the division, they have got themselves a foundation now as a really young team with some veteran pieces. But what a star he is, a superstar already. He reminds me a little bit of what Julio Rodriguez was for the Mariners last year. So a lot still to come, as we say. We've got more from baseball ourselves. Houston, they had a pair of 40-year-olds facing each other in Detroit. This is kind of fun. The last meeting, we believe, between Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera. So that was taking place in the Motor City. Mookie Betts returning to Boston to... Baseball's going to have to step aside, though, at least partly. You shove aside, because football is back, baby. And over the weekend, even as teams are trying to get down to the rosters that they will break camp with, or I guess they've essentially broken camp, but the rosters that they will start the season with, it's tough decisions. It's tough financial decisions, and it's tough position battles as well. And that applied to the San Francisco 49ers, who decided Sam Darnold would be their number two, making Trey Lance expendable. Maybe, just maybe, there's some irony in the fact that he was drafted number three overall after the Niners made a big trade to move up a couple years ago. And now, because he was relegated to the number three on their depth chart, he is no longer a member of the San Francisco 49ers. Man, life comes at you fast, Trey Lance.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Trey's a very well-liked guy, one of the better people I've been around, and I do think he's going to have a lot of success in this league. It's been a tough road for him because... The times he has gotten an opportunity, he ended up getting hurt and missed that window. And now he's sitting in this position, and we'll always try to do right for Trey. If there's a better situation that his heart's in and something like that, we're going to make sure not to do something that hurts him in that way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kyle Shanahan proving to be a bit prophetic, maybe because he knew something at the time that we did not know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Late last week, Kyle announcing that Sam Darnold will serve as QB2 or as backup QB to Brock Purdy when they start the season. Now, think about the number of teams every year. It's roughly 2/3 of the teams in the NFL every season use multiple quarterbacks because of injuries or ineptitude. And to be fair, the Niners have used more than their share of quarterback since Kyle and John Lynch took over. Now here they are trading away Trey Lance on Friday. It was like an NFL Friday news dump already in full swing. Speaking of dumps, and Trey Lance is now a Dallas Cowboy. Wow. Of all the places, right? Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, they're reacting. But really, this story begins with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch so they can explain it. And top of the hour, we will welcome Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area. We'll also get the latest on Nick Bosa, of course, because that remains a major question mark for the Niners. I'm going to start with the trade itself, going back several years when Shanahan and Lynch moved up to number three. Because they were getting a quarterback, they had to break the news to Jimmy Garoppolo. This was the final year of his deal. Of course, then they re-signed him for another year. But they went all out to get Trey Lance. And if you remember, they told us they knew who they wanted. This wasn't, hey, we're moving up to get a quarterback. This was, We're moving up to get the quarterback that we want. So does that mean the trade, the process was all a complete failure?
Obviously, we took our shot and it didn't work out. So, I mean, that's on us for that. But I'm not going to say anything as in failure. That'd be too much of a negative towards Trey. I get our deal. We took a shot to go for that. We were hoping that he could be our guy, and that didn't work out. So I understand that from our standpoint, but I still do believe in Trey. And, you know, about 3 years ago, you know, we had the 12th pick in the draft, you know, after that COVID year, but we thought we had a really good team. And we didn't think we'd have a chance again to get close to that top area to take a quarterback in the top 10. And when you have the 12th pick in the draft, we went into it realizing it was a risk, but we thought we weren't going to pick that high again for a couple of years, and we would never have a chance to move from 12 to 3. We tried to move up to a number of spots before that, but 3 was the first one that would do it. You know, we looked in everything between 12 and 3, and we got that, and we took our shot, something we believed in and a person we believed in.
Well, if that's the case, and you still believe in Trey Lance, and you see the potential, the whole team raves about him as a man, why give up on him? Why trade him away when he's still on his rookie deal and he's still relatively young?
It's a fair question, and it's something we talked a lot about internally. You know, ultimately, you know, with Brock being healthy, number one, and, you know, we're excited about that. Sam being the number two, the reality, it's not the way everybody works it, but with our system, the number one takes a lot of reps. The number two takes the scout team reps. It's just not a whole lot of opportunity. You know, I heard Kyle talk about it, to get better, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to play to get better. I think that's going to be his opportunity. Play, I mean, ideally games, but play is running scout team. Play is doing all those things. We weren't going to have that. And so how do you allow a player to grow?
Now he can grow with the Dallas Cowboys, which is interesting. If you're Trey Lance and it's not San Francisco, I can imagine Dallas would be a place where you would feel as though you could find some redemption. Now, Dak Prescott is also healthy, and he'll be behind Dak. But we've seen, each of the last 3 years where Dak's missed some time because of injury, and the backup has been required. I mean, Cooper Rush, what was he, 6-1?
It's Cooper Clutch.
Over the course of the last couple of years, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Get this. Speaks to the quality of the human being that Trey is. John Lynch actually said Trey is the one who apologized to the team.
Typical Trey, he apologized to us, and there was nothing for him to apologize for. And we're happy that he's got a spot, and you know, the Cowboys came up big, and I think that's an indication that they're excited to have him, and we're excited for Trey's new opportunity.
I always feel like I let Trey down. I mean, I wanted him to come here. I believe in Trey. I believed in him before we took him, and I'm responsible for that. I didn't want to throw him into the heat of battle right away, but I thought he needed to play, so we tried to figure out every way to do that. I mean, if I can look back in hindsight, he broke that finger on a helmet on that fourth preseason game versus the Raiders. I wish I didn't put him in a play that had him break his finger, because I think that really hurt him in his first year. And not only did it hurt him not getting able to mix in much, but it hurt him in the practice time, because he had to adjust how he threw and things like that, which I think set him back for a second year. When we went into the second year, we gave him every chance to do it. We were going to make an offense that, to me, gave him the best chance to be successful at that time, which we did do. And when you do that, you hope a guy can stay healthy so he can stay out there long enough, but that didn't last long. It was the first game, and after that, I mean, I always felt for him, and we continue to work with him, but sometimes things just don't work out.
Well, isn't that the truth? Not only is life not fair, but it never quite goes the way that you anticipate or that you plan. But what about from an organizational standpoint? Why was this the right move for the Niners? They've got Brock Purdy. They've got Sam Darnold. Who knows if Sam pans out? It remains to be seen whether or not this is them giving up too quickly. And Shanahan does indicate that there were conversations about Trey sticking around, similar to what they did with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? There was no one who disliked Jimmy. Everyone loved Jimmy, but they ultimately had to make a tough choice at quarterback. They did bring him back 1 year longer than they anticipated. And so at least it's not a burnt bridge.
We were good. Like, Trey actually had a great conversation with him today. Had a tough conversation when I told him he didn't win the second job. Today was much easier, just going through it for the last couple days with him. But no, there was nothing to fix. It was what it was. And I told him, when we told him that he was going to be the three, if he could find another opportunity that was good, we'd allow him to do that. And he did.
Trey Lance is now with the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, Jerry Jones loves these types of deals, the ones that raise eyebrows and attract a lot of attention. According to Jerry, and Dak too, this was a decision that he made on his own for the most part and didn't talk to either his quarterback or his head coach.
Didn't cross my mind, period, about an impact here regarding Dak. I know that Dak wants to do anything we can do to improve this team, and we're going to do it. The facts are that the decision to bring in as high a quality of talent as we could, that's evolving or a young talent that is basically gaining, improving, getting better that you would be as a young talent, that's something that we've been trying to do, but it's just never the opportunity seems to be there so often. But we've been trying to do what we did with this trade almost every draft since I've been drafting.
I can't say that I necessarily expected it, no. I understand that that's business. I understand that they're probably on a timeline. They need to get something done. And as I said, he felt like that strengthened this team.
To be honest with you, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. You've been in this league 8 years, been on this team. It's hard to say that I was surprised, to be honest with you.
Of course, that makes another quarterback expendable, and Will Greer gets cut after the Cowboys' final preseason game. You'll hear from him a little bit later on in QB News. And then Dak Prescott getting emotional over Will, a teammate being the collateral damage, if you will. And that is how pro sports work, specifically football, but not just football. So competitive to make these rosters. I'm interested to see whether or not Trey Lance gets another opportunity. Of course, it's not great for the Cowboys if he's playing this season. But what about Will Greer? Will he pop up somewhere else? Right? So it's musical chairs. And because quarterbacks are so dang expensive, it's better to have a couple under contract that are either on veteran minimum or are on their rookie deals. And that's Trey Lance. Here's the thing. Trey is going into year number three. He's only starting year three. You have him under his rookie deal for three more seasons if that's what you want, because you can pick up the fifth year option. We know that Jerry Jones was looking for another quarterback. Has he found the guy who will push Dak or could be their failsafe? We'll talk Niners angle coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.